Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, everyone. You have Kathy Holloway Hill here.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And you are listening to the Living by Design show, and we are so excited that you are going to be joining us this evening for another episode of our Get Motivated theme. I am so excited, so motivated, so inspired by this theme because we are making such a difference. Thank everyone for the email notes that you send. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your support. I am so happy that we are helping you guys, and this is what it's all about. When we can make a difference in your life, and when you guys can email us and tell us that things are really changing and things are really happening, and I even gave away a couple of copies of the book of the guests we're going to have on tonight, and again, you just really, it made a difference, and I just love it when that happens. So please continue to listen, and just please continue to keep striving to be better. I mean, you don't have to do everything all at once and just accomplish it all right now. Everything takes time, and, you know, you can't grow a beautiful garden overnight. You have to plant the seeds, and you have to plow new ground. So it's okay to take those small steps, and small steps should be rewarded. They should be rewarded. And for everyone who has sent email notes telling about your testimonies, please don't ever think that it's insignificant or it's too small or it's not worth talking about, because every tiny step is that much closer to your destination of an empowering life. So just keep going, keep going, keep going. So, Mr. Tony Lamont, my wonderful co-host, how are you doing this evening?
I am blessed. Thank you very much. I'm doing well and looking forward to our guest. And the only reason I say that is because when we last had him on the show, I was so impressed and so enthused. And you had already, you know, told me about the book and talked about the book. And I went out and bought the book and have been reading it and just feel so good. I mean, the one thing I have to say about this show, among a lot of different shows, the one thing I will say is a lot of our listeners don't really realize, but not only can they benefit from us doing the show, but we can benefit also. And I've benefited, and as I do every week, I benefit from the opportunity of just participating. So I'm doing wonderful and looking forward to this.
Tony, thank you for saying that. Now, I'll pay you later. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for that. That is absolutely true, because I feel the same way, because a lot of people don't really understand, Tony, that you and I and all the other motivators out there, that sometimes our cup gets empty too, and we need to be fed. And, you know, because we feed and we feed and we give and we give and we give so much of ourselves to others that, you know, I don't realize that my cup is empty. And I'll just tell a quick story here before I bring my guest on the line. I did a retreat a couple of weekends ago, and I was one of the guest speakers. And I was prepared to do my thing and do what I do and speak and motivate and inspire and lift others to a higher level of awareness, and I was prepared. But it was at a church, and I didn't mean to say but anyway, it was at a church, and the first person who spoke was the minister, and he was the pastor of the church. And I'm telling you, his presentation was so uplifting and so spiritual that it pulled the emotion out of me so strong, and I didn't even realize it. I mean, it really blindsided me, because I was trying my best, Tony, to hold it together and not get emotional, not cry, And, you know, when I was thinking those thoughts in my head, I can't cry, I can't cry, I can't show emotion. And as soon as I said that, the pastor said, be careful of that pride. Be careful of that pride. Watch your ego. And when he said that, I let it go. And I didn't even realize, Tony, that I was so empty that I needed to be filled, refilled up. And it was a retreat, which was, you know, the purpose of the retreat was to refresh and refill and renew, and I needed it too. And I just, you know, I love telling that story because I want people to know that just because we have a mission in life to help and change others, we too are human. And we too need that spiritual food and that inspiration and that motivation and that elevation and that rejuvenation. And I just, you know, it was a wonderful time. I did a great job in my presentation. I fed others and I received food, and it was just fantastic. So that's the end of my testimony.
Gotcha. Sounds good.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I know you're looking forward to the Indy 500 is going to be coming up soon up there in Indianapolis.
Yes. We have a very busy, and I have to say 3 weeks. It used to be a whole month, but they actually started a different schedule this time. So, but yeah, there's the parade and what we call the Kids Day at the Kids Festival, and then of course Carburation Day and the race. So, and I'm a race fan. I'm a race fan from back in the day. I grew up with the Indy 500. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I like cars that go 227 miles an hour around the track. That's exciting to me.
It is. Yeah, I lived in Indy myself for a bit, and you know, I didn't know you at the time, but I did live there, and I know it's a big deal, just like the Kentucky Derby is here. So good luck with that. Well, I am going to move on and bring our guest on the line because I have quite a bit of conversation that I would like to discuss with our outstanding guest, who is the brains, the inspiration, the motivation, the aspiration behind the book Aspire. Kevin Hall is absolutely, I mean, a wordsmith just doesn't even begin to cut it. He is just a magnificent individual. He is a dear, dear friend, a colleague, a mentor, an advisor. I mean, he's just so many things, so many roles in my life, and I just think the world of him. And I'm going to go ahead and bring Mr. Kevin Hall on the line. Kevin, can you hear me?
I can, Kathy. Glad to be with you again.
Oh, no, I know. I am so excited to have you here again. I know you was on a few weeks ago when we did a panel with Ty Bennett. And actually, Ty is the one who introduced me to you.
That's right.
You was on then. And we did receive so many email notes about that show. It was a great, great show. And now you're back. And your book, I think you heard Tony say that he went out and bought your book, and quite a few people sent me email notes about your book, about how it really made a difference and how the show made a difference, and I love that. Absolutely love it.
Well, I'm honored to be with you and Tony today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I know your schedule's been pretty busy, too. You've been on the road quite a lot.
It has been busy, but I'm no busier than anyone else. It's fun. It's all good.
But you know what? Busy is great.
It is.
Busy is a good thing. And I think you heard me talk a little bit ago about the retreat that I did a couple of weekends ago, and it was a 3-day event. It was great. It was really good. Now, you know, Kevin, as you know, we are still in our theme this month of Get Motivated.
Mm.
And some of the things I want to talk about are, well, first of all, you know, as you know, your book is just like my Bible. I mean, I take it everywhere. It's a wonderful, wonderful piece of work. And for those of you who may be listening for the first time, go out and buy a copy of Aspire by Kevin Hall. It is absolutely phenomenal. It will change your life. One of the things I want to talk about, Kevin, is how a lot of people, and even some of my clients, a lot of people are in this mindset of being demotivated. And how can you distinguish between just pure demotivation and depression? Because I know they kind of do go hand in hand, and I don't even know if you can even distinguish between the two.
Well, that's a great question. I know Viktor Frankl would have said, if you are feeling stressed or overloaded or hopeless, I mean, mental illness and depression can be a real thing for a lot of people. But if you are feeling hopeless, stressed or overloaded on a regular basis, you're probably not on path. You're probably not on purpose. You're probably not tapping into your unique gifts. They are gifts of greatness, because when we share what we are best at, we get that sense of our greatness, and we can salute that in others. Those three words, stressed, overloaded, breakdown, they come from the factory floor. They come from the industrial age. They weren't created. Those words weren't to describe mankind. They were to describe machinery. And so I think that's one of the first litmus tests, that, hey, maybe I'm not tapping in to my gifts. And then I confuse this a little. And then Viktor would say, if we're angry, if we are addicted, if there's that sense of hopelessness, he called it the tragic triad, it's when we haven't found that meaning of what we'd like to do with the gifts that we have.
Right, right. Because
it's okay occasionally to be down, right? It's okay. We're all going to
experience life obstacles. Life happens.
Right.
But you're right. When you are on purpose and on path and on point, and you're going toward a goal, and you know that that goal has very, very solid meaning for you, it really does help. Now, Kevin, a lot of my listeners, they dial in and they listen via their phone line, and they know to hit the one key if they want to make a comment or ask a question. So I'm going to go to the phone line and just check to see if area code 207, do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I had a question. This is more of a self-help type of show, is it not?
It is.
Okay. I'm going to need a little assistance other than just myself on this type of a situation. I have a crush on a gal here at the University of Maine, and oh my God, I can't believe I'm broadcasting this. But I wrote her a poem, the first romantic poem, and that didn't work. She didn't like it. And she told me that she's not interested in me the way that I'm interested in her. And I was just wondering if, I guess, she doesn't even know me. Like, if she got to know me, she'd probably be at least interested in a friendship. And so I'm offering her, or I'm planning on sending her a second poem, more of a friendship poem, and then, I don't know, giving her like a friendship ring or a bouquet of daisies, not roses or anything, nothing like, I don't know, just as a sort of like a an apology for, you know, the bad poem that it wasn't bad, it wasn't that bad, it's just it wasn't the greatest. And
what's your question is? Should you? Are you asking whether you should or not?
Well, yes, I've offered her to be friends with her. I think the poem just scared her off. And if I were to write a second one and sort of correct, you know, the
Hello, caller? Are you still there? Okay. I think we lost the caller, but anyway, so we'll just move on. If the caller wants to try to get back in, then you know we'll go from there. But at any rate, so yeah, Kevin. I mean, you know, I think you were absolutely right in the question that I had asked prior to that call. We have to be on purpose. We have to know what our purpose is, which way we're headed, our direction. all of those things. And if we don't, then it's really gonna throw our lives off track.
You know, it is, and it's, again, we're all going to feel stressed at times. We're all going to feel overloaded or like we're going to have a breakdown. But if we're feeling that way 24/7,
right,
we're not tapping into our gifts. And, again, we discover our purpose when we propose what it is that we're going to be doing with our gifts. We realize that we have those gifts. Well, what would I like to do with those gifts? Because I honor the giver of those gifts when I share them. I had two coaching calls today with some key clients, and one actually is an executive coach up in Canada. That was yesterday, and another was a coach and client of mine who is one of the top marketers in the world. And we come back each time, almost every call. They know I won't let them off without focusing on, now, what is it that you do great? What are some gifts, maybe what are some beliefs that could be holding us back? And let's come back to your greatness, not to anyone else. Even this caller that just called in, maybe he heard about a poem that could affect somebody somewhere. He just needs to be himself. Because when you're around a friend who is a true friend, friend comes from the word free. You want to know who someone is a dear friend, it's someone that you can be free to be who you are. When you can just be yourself, be your very best self, but be who you are. And so if you want to be a friend to yourself, we need to take the mask off. We need to quit imitating others and be our authentic best self. And then make a commitment to improving. I like to focus on just a 1% increase in one or two areas. If I could increase every other week, every week, 1% or 2%, just 1%. In a year, if I've done that every week, I've increased by 50% my skill level, my capability. So it's just, it's that 1% rule of, let's take this gift, let's take this vision, this dream that I have, and how can I improve just 1% this week, and then do it again next week, and the following week, and the following week.
Absolutely. And yeah, I was going to say to that caller, unfortunately, I don't think he was able to get back in, but, you know, I don't know if the young lady had showed any interest. So that would be where I would have started with that individual. Has she showed interest? I mean, have you all had a conversation? What has transpired? And you're right. You have to be who you are. You have to show who you are. And if he's written a poem and she didn't like it, and that's who he is. He's a poet, and that's what he loves to do is write poetry, and she doesn't appreciate that gift, then she's probably not the one for him.
Yeah, so, and he doesn't need to change, exactly.
Absolutely. You cannot change who you are. And, you know, I have some people in my life right now who have changed. I mean, they aren't the people, they aren't the same as they were when I first met them. But you know what? I accept who they are. And when you love people, family, friends, whoever, you accept who they are.
Yeah.
If they change in their life, you know, unless they, you know, change and start deciding to rob banks or something like that. Now, that's a little different, but you know, but if they change in who they are and their path changes a little, or they decide to do something that you may not agree with, you still have to support them and love them if it's really a true blue friendship relationship, like you said. You just have to. You can't try to change another person, or you can't try to change who you are to conform to another person.
Yeah, exactly.
Which actually brings me to the main topic I kind of want to talk to you about, Kevin, because I really do think this is something that we struggle with in our society today. And, you know, when we talk about the topic of motivation, the last word in your book that you talk about, and, I mean, I am always rereading that section over and over and over again, because I think it really touches home with a lot of why people aren't motivated, a lot of the reasons, and that's integrity. I believe that there's an issue with integrity in our country today. And when I say that, what I'm referring to is that integrity is the quality and the sense of honesty and truthfulness in regard to who you are. You know, for instance, if you claim to have these type of values or these type of principles or these types of beliefs, and then you go off and do something totally that conflicts with that, you know, to make money or to feel good or to have a better life, and it just totally goes against what you believe, I think that creates conflict in our world, in our spirits, in our minds, in our bodies. And I think that conflict is what is causing a lot of maybe the depression or the issues that we deal with in life, because, you know, maybe we're just too lazy to enhance our gift. And I hate to use that word lazy, but, you know, maybe it's that, or we feel like it takes too much work, or we don't really know ourselves, or whatever the case may be. But I reread that section over and over and over, and I'm gonna read. If you guys don't mind, just hear me out here, because I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going to just take a passage from your book, Kevin, on page 216. I actually have this highlighted in three different colors. That's how much it has really struck me.
Okay, great.
In life, trouble starts when we don't have ourselves and what we need to use in place. How many shortcuts have we taken that truly saved us time? Yet the world is full of superficial promises and shortcuts. You said, Kevin, you was walking past a magazine stand and saw a headline. Debt-free in 3 months. Lose your belly in just 12 days. 10-day plan to ultimate beauty. 1 hour to health and energy. Build wealth fast. And a golf magazine said something about cure a slice in 10 seconds. And you called it peripheral pollution. It's everywhere, advertising the quick fix and trumpeting the instant gratification, and it just drowns out the simple, clear, muted lessons of nature. Nature does not take shortcuts. It does not skip seasons. It does not provide instant results. We have to plant before we can harvest. There are no exceptions. And I think that right there, end quote, I'm ending the quote, that right there, in my opinion, is a huge portion of what might be going on with a lot of people. They are so determined to try to do it fast and get it quick and hurry up and get to the point they want to be in life or make some money or get the status or earn the or whatever the case may be, instead of being true to who they are and maintaining that level of integrity, honesty, and moral value and standard, and keep your word. If you say you're going to do it and you are who you are, be true to yourself. I mean, we lie to ourselves more than I can even talk about. We lie more to ourselves than we even know. And I just wanted to bring that out and point that out, because that is so, so, so very important in our society today. And I'm going to let you comment on that, because you wrote, when you wrote that piece about integrity, that last chapter in your book, which is extremely powerful, what really got you motivated to put that piece in there? Because it's huge, in my opinion.
Well, and you know how that chapter starts, because it is keeping
your
word.
Yes, it was a personal experience of your own.
Yeah, personal experience. I just saw my daughter a minute ago. Dad, we don't have soccer. It's okay. We had somebody lined up to take her so I could be on the show. But my youngest daughter, Sharwan, she's now 14. Well, she'll be 15 in July. This was several years ago when she was 11. She'd been assigned this duty, but I'd left this oatmeal on the stove in the kitchen, and I heard the phone ring in my office, and I usually have an office out of our home, and by the time I came back, it was just charred.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought, I'm not responsible for what you're doing. I said, don't worry about that pot. I burned it. It's my job. I'll clean it.
Right.
You can wash everything else, and I'll take care of that tonight. Well, I didn't. And she walked into my room the next morning holding that pan in her hand and said, Dad, you said you were going to clean this up. You're writing a book about words, but you don't keep your word.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I mean, nothing like getting caught red-handed as a father.
Right. right.
by their daughter. And so I jumped up and I washed the pan and I resolved to keep my promises, to keep my word next time. Now, Stephen Covey, I think he has said it best. His dear friend, dear mentor, wrote the foreword to the book, Aspire, Discovering Your Purpose Through the Power of Words. And we worked together on this book for 4.5 years. And I start out that chapter with a quote by him. Living a life of integrity starts with making and keeping promises.
Mm-hmm.
Until the whole human personality, the senses, the thinking, the feeling, and the intuition are ultimately integrated and harmonized. It's just keeping promises, the promises you make to others, but probably what you said earlier, most important are the promises that we make to ourselves. In about 2 hours, I will be at Renaissance Ranch. It is attached to a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center, and it is an AA meeting. There'll be somewhere between 40 and 55 men will walk into a barn from 7 to 8 here, Mountain Daylight Time, and I have been, one of my readers wrote me several weeks ago, Kathy, and he said, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a drug addict, I've been a pornography addict, I've lost my marriage, I've been in prison, I just read your book, it's had a huge impact on me, would you come join me at one of these meetings? Well, I've been, and I've become very good friends with this young man who, he's been sober now for 13 years, but what I've heard over and over and over again every Wednesday night, I've been here I think 6 of the last 7 weeks, this will be 7 of the last 8, I remember about 3 weeks ago a young man said, you know, I had this craving, and he had an alcohol and a drug problem. It didn't matter what was in front of me, I wanted this, I needed this, and so honesty, integrity, it all went out the door. Well, one of the 12 steps is self-honesty. You've got to be honest. And then I heard this young man say, you know, when I realized I finally had a problem, I quit trying it my way, and I listened to others and was honest with myself, and I started keeping promises. He said, today I've kept 4 promises. He said, I took a job. I said I'd take a job. I showed up today for work. That was promise 1. I showed up on time. That was promise 2.
Mm-hmm.
He'd made a commitment when he spoke of something else that he wanted to do. He said, I promised to say my prayers. I've done that today. And he went to list 3 or 4 or 5 things. So I think one of the most important pieces of integrity is the promises that we make to ourselves, because integer is the Latin origin of integrity. And that's, you know, go back to elementary school, junior high, middle school, high school, an integer is a whole number. And so integrity isn't just part of your word. It's not a fraction. It's not 2/3 or 3/4 or 9/10. And that's the hard part. It's all of our word all of the time. Integrity means I'm going to be whole and complete with my word. I'm going to be whole and complete with who I am. And I even talk about sincere, where the word sincere comes from. And we can talk about that later if you want as well.
Right, right, absolutely. And I think another very important determining factor of the whole, everything that you just said, Kevin, you know, with the young man that made the comment to you and you know, other people who struggle with this and don't truly understand what true integrity is they do have to be honest with themselves, because I was listening to an audio program. I always listen to everything self-help related, and I can't even remember who this person was, but he said, you know, he was given a presentation, and he had created an audio program from it, and he said, everyone in this audience who was a liar, raise your hand. And no one raised their hands, and they all thought it was a strange question. I was like, why is he saying that? And then he phrased it a different way. He said, okay, let me say it this way. Everyone who's ever made an excuse, raise your hand.
Mm.
Now, how many of us have never made an excuse for something? An excuse is just a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lie. And if we could just learn to be honest with ourselves, Kevin, if we could just learn to stop being in denial, recognize it for what it is. That, in my opinion, is part of having integrity, to be able to recognize that you do have an addiction, or that you do have a problem, or that you do need help, or that something does need to change. I mean, I can't even count the number of times that I've talked to friends and family members and even clients who it is just so obvious and apparent that X is going on, and they are in total denial if you were to just mention X. Oh, no, that's not it. It's this and that and this and that, because they don't want to face it, believe it, accept it, or do anything about it. So the excuses are coming out.
You know, you're so, that is so true, because, see, when we're one with our word, which is easier said than done, but when we're one with our word, we're one with the world. And we become one with creation when we honor the promises we've made to ourselves. And I think in this order, to ourselves and others, that's how you begin to create a life of abundance and fulfillment. When we're one with our word, and when we are one with our word, we're literally one with the world.
And, you know, one of the things that I try to do, Kevin, I try to do this with people who I'm very close to, who I talk to and see on a regular basis, the people that are around me the most, that know me and, you know, they're in my space a lot. I always solicit feedback. And I only ask it of people who I am very close to or who I know will be honest with me. And I always solicit feedback from them about me because I want to know. I don't want to be in denial. I don't want to make an excuse for my behavior or say, I had a bad day today, something happened, or, you know, my hard drive crashed, and so that's why I'm just sour. I don't want to do that. You know, it doesn't matter if my hard drive crashed or if my car crashed. I still am in control of the attitude I choose and my behavior. And so I always solicit, and I ask people, you know, how do you see me? How do you see me as, you know, this type of person, which is what I want to be? This is who I want to be, and this is who I am, and how do you see me as related to that? I always try to see if I can – I want to make sure I'm walking my talk, and I want to see how I'm coming across to others. So I do that. I do that often.
That's great. Good for you.
Yep. I do that often. And I think if we could just kind of stay on that track, and like you said earlier about being on purpose, if that in itself could be what we're moving toward or have a purpose that we're moving toward, that in itself is going to make a huge difference in whether or not we stay motivated.
Yeah.
Because when we're just kind of floating along and no purpose, no direction, we're just kind of floating aimlessly through life, and we don't really know from one day to the next. We're just pretty much winging it and just living day to day. Wherever we can earn a dime or earn a quarter or earn a dollar, we go get it. And it has zero to do with who we are and what we stand for. And
when people live
like that, it doesn't work.
Well, and if we can, you know, keep our word, keep our promises that we make to ourselves and others, and then really recognize our greatness, who we are. Not try to be anybody else. Like Oscar Wilde said, you know, be yourself. Everybody else is already taken.
I love that, yeah.
One of the things I ask people when I'm coaching, I say, if you could be anybody in the world, who would you want to be? Then I'll ask it again. If you could be anybody in the world, who would you want to be? And I'll ask it 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 times. Until they give what I think is the right answer.
Right.
Because I don't want them to be anybody but who they are.
Right.
And if they come up with somebody else, and after a while they go, you're right, I want to be me. Yeah, that's who you are. And so that is the other essence of character, of integrity, of authenticity, of sincerity. The word character, it's evolved and it's changed over time. Character is something that's engraved on wood or stone or metal. That's where it originated from. It was a character that was engraved. And then at Shakespeare's, and it's at Shakespeare's time, it evolved to a part. It was a character. It was a part that someone played in a play. And instead of being who you were, it was all about who you were not. And they wore a mask. If you remember, most of Shakespeare's play, the characters wore a mask. They were trying to hide their true identity. And we can just embrace, hey, characters, everything that's ever happened to us, everything good and everything bad, it's who we are.
Exactly.
When we can have that self-honesty of what it is and not try to imitate someone else, I could be anybody in the world. I can't be anybody else but me. Every person is an unrepeatable miracle. There are no two leaves in a forest of 100,000 trees are alike. So let's be the very best that we can be. And again, you come back by tapping. That's why you're doing what you're doing. That's why Tony's here doing what you're doing. You are focused. You're having an experience that ties into your gifts. You're focused on living a purpose-filled life. And if we could get, you know, people to do that, that are listening to this call, and not be afraid of who they are, because sometimes our fear gets in the way. You know, who am I to really believe that I can do that? But it, you know, there's Emerson said, I can't find language of sufficient energy to convey my sense of the sacredness of private integrity. When you are being yourself, you start to walk, I think, a real holy path. Not one full of holes, but one that is uniquely yours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Kevin and Kathy, you know, I've been listening because, as I told Kathy before we did the show, I mean, when I went and got the book, I fell in love with the book. I'm a man of who takes pride in using words, and I learned it was as though I've learned a new language, just learning the essence of the words that you brought forth and the true meanings of them. But you know, the one thing that I've listened to, and one thing that I'm feeling is, if people would just realize that being who they are and understanding that the greatness that's in them is a special gift and a blessing, and recognize that gift, then that walk becomes so much easier. We spend a lot of time trying to be someone else,
yeah,
or trying to be something that someone says we should be.
Right.
And what's so amazing, and in conversations with Kathy and doing the motivational stuff, and I'm sure you've run into this too, it's as though a person is reborn when they realize who they are in the midst of their living. When they realize, they see themselves for the first time and they say, I didn't know this was me. It's as though they were born again, and then from that point they can move to a different place. And it's so amazing to me that sometimes it takes so much to see and get that thing that's already in us and for us to recognize that. I mean, it's so much easier to tell the truth. It's so much easier to walk the truth, but we spend so much time pretending and lying and not doing those things that would bring us not only closer to other people, but closer to ourselves.
Mm. Boy, that's so well said, Tony. I've worked with a CEO. He's now the chairman of a $6 million restaurant company. They have over 15,000 units across North America, and he shares often that we can recover from it. You can always recover from the truth. I love that, the view of that. And the key is, I mean, Shakespeare said it so well. We talked about Shakespeare. Ironic that he said it, and this above all, to thine own self be true. And it must follow as the night, the day, thou canst not then be false to any man. We know when we're deceiving ourselves. And when we vainly attempt to do that, we compromise and we complicate who we are. It's so simple. Just so when we do that, when we compromise who we are, we become a fraction of what we could be.
Compromise and complicate. I like that. That is so true. That is so true. And, you know, another thing about understanding who you are and knowing yourself you know, what Tony said a few minutes ago, that it is very key and it is very important to know who you are. Because everyone, you know, because I come across a lot of people who are, they admire me and they like what I do, and they don't really know what they're passionate about. So because they admire me, they decide they want to do what I'm doing. And
right.
I try to explain to them, you know, everybody is not born to be a motivational speaker. That's not your gift. You have to find, discover your purpose, your gift, your unique talent, your unique strength, your attribute. And whatever that is, maybe it's just to be an example. Maybe it's just to be in a particular spot to do a particular thing so that you can be a bright light for someone else. Everybody is not meant and born to stand up on stage and give motivational presentations or write books. Everybody's not born to do that. There are lots of other roles in life that are very, very necessary and very, very meaningful. Teachers and doctors and attorneys and, you know, and media. We need positive media people. There's lots of different things, and I can't even go into all of them, that you may be born to do, and we need to discover what that is and be the best that we can be at that and not try to cut corners and not try to, you know, skip, you know, go straight to the millionaire status or whatever we may be trying to run after money or chase
right.
after the quick fix or whatever. You know, we need to just understand who we are and be the best at it.
So, again, I'm a word nerd, Kathy and Tony, so I apologize up front. But you said, so how do we find out who we were born to be or what we were born to do? Because the word nature, it comes from the Latin natura, N-A-T-U-R-A, which means to be born or to give birth. And nature, it's the gifts that we're born with. It's our genius. It's the genie within us. And if we tap into what it is that we are naturally gifted at, it doesn't feel like work. You've heard it said, nature works, but nature doesn't work. You can learn every lesson you need to, and nature doesn't work. Everything's harmony and flow. She doesn't fight the elements. She embraces them. Rivers don't try to run uphill. Plants don't try to grow in the Arctic. Animals thrive in their natural state. And if you want to be free, if you want to really soar to new heights, I always ask people, what superpower, if you could have any superpower in the world, what would you want most? And their number one response, generally without fail, by 85, 90% of the people, whether it's a half day, one day, 3 day retreat that I'm leading, they'll say, I want to fly because they want to be free. And so what I try to focus on, whether I'm writing or speaking or coaching or as a business consultant to an organization, if you want to really fly in your life, if you want to soar higher than you ever thought humanly possible, then feel free to be yourself. Feel free to follow your nature. And here's how you know what some of your gifts are. Because you do it for free, right? You say, a lot of people say, I'd do that for free.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've worked with one of the top car salespeople, BMW salesperson in the world, and she sells nearly 3 BMWs a day.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not gifted. She doesn't have all these closing techniques. She says, I like to create meaningful relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Selling a car is just a way of providing service for my friends. I would do what I do for free. That's
mm-hmm.
the litmus test. When you feel as if you would do something for free, that's when you know you're on your path. That's when you know you're connecting to what comes naturally to you. And then when you hear others say, you're a natural at that, that's in your nature. It's second nature to you. You were born to do that. If you follow and nurture your nature, you don't work. This isn't work for you. And Tony, you said it both early as I was listening to the beginning of the program, that you benefit. You know, we're all part of those we meet. The minister that you met when you spoke at your retreat 2 or 3 weeks ago, well, you got a great gift from being there, sharing your gifts, but that wasn't work for you. This isn't work for you or for me or for Tony. And Sometimes it feels like if there's a deadline, if I've got to get my book done by a certain time, I need to change the plan. But when we tap into what it is that we do for free, that's a pretty good test. Oh, I'd do that for free. What? How could you get paid to do what it is that you love to do? Let's start there. Maybe you could start part-time. Maybe you could do it an hour a week, an hour a day. Maybe it could turn into what you do for the rest of your life.
And that's exactly what I did, Kevin. That's exactly what I did. I was in corporate America, and I went to an NSA meeting on this past Monday evening, and I ran into a friend of mine that I hadn't seen for a long time when I was in corporate America. And she had been keeping up with what I'm doing in my work, and, you know, she's on Facebook and everything, and I was telling her about everything that I'd been doing and the projects and the updates, and she said, well, you know you've been doing that your whole life. You know that, right? And it just really, it came full circle for me when she said that. I said, you know, that is absolutely correct. She said, you know, you were already doing that. You just weren't getting paid for it. I said, oh, yeah. I know. That's so true. And I just want to say to people, I just really want to implore you, I'm not going to talk against this, but I would like to say if you're trying to chase wealth, because I know a lot of people think that's where happiness lies, if you're trying to chase wealth, please rethink it. Because if you are living your purpose and you are living according to what you are put on this earth to do, everything else takes care of itself. But when you're chasing wealth and going after one first get-rich-quick scheme and then another, oh, my goodness, it's just going to be a life of tragedy and misery. When you could be taking that valuable time to understand and learn what your special gifts are, discover the things you need to know about yourself. Self-discovery is powerful.
Kathy, go ahead, Tony, please.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Kevin, that the one thing as far as wealth goes, and those of us that have found our passion and have been living it for a long time, know that no dollar amount can ever match the riches you get from doing what you really love to do and what has been a part of you and what is in you. There is no monetary amount that could ever be created. It can't be printed. It can't be forged. It can't be done because it's in you. I mean, I'm wealthier doing the things that I do than anybody could ever pay me. But the beautiful thing about it is the gifts that we have been given give us an opportunity to give the gifts back, and people want to pay us to do the things that we do. And a lot of times, and I know Kathy does this, I've done this, and I'm sure, Kevin, you've done this yourself. A lot of times because you enjoy doing what you do, you say, look, keep it. I mean, I'm getting a lot more from this than you know, and I really don't need to get that from you. I mean, a lot of times people want to do that. So I just wanted to share that because a lot of folks don't realize the wealth of becoming and doing what's really in you to do.
Mm. You know, you both have me just on fire here as I'm listening to how articulate you both were there describing that. Wealth, well-being, abundance, fulfillment. Do you know all of those words come from water? I remember working on those. I went to see the Master of Words. In every chapter, there's a little section called Afternoons with Arthur. Arthur is a 90, soon to be 4-year-old. He's 93 now. He'll be 94 on July 30th. And he's 20 minutes from my home. He speaks or understands 12 to 13 different languages. And I remember one day saying, Arthur, is there a relationship between wealth, well-being, abundance, and fulfillment? I still remember this as if it happened yesterday. He looked me in the eye and said, Kevin, they all come from water. When a well is full, that's where wealth comes from. That's where well-being, it starts to overflow. That's fulfillment. It's fulfilled when we are fulfilling what it is that we were meant to do. Not what somebody else thinks we're meant to do, but what ties into us. Like Kathy said, the other stuff takes care of itself. The wealth, the fulfillment, the well-being, abundance. Still, he said, Kevin, think of the undulation, the bounty of the sea. Abundance comes from undance, the undulation of the sea. What comes after a wave on the ocean? I wrote this book, a lot of it in Dana Point, looking out over the ocean. Well, there's another wave, and another wave, and another wave. And each wave carries the anticipation of another succession of waves. Nature gives all and loses nothing. When you tap into your nature, you tap into abundance, wealth, well-being, and fulfillment. And that is, that's why these are linked. I think, I haven't even really quite seen the link here until this conversation today, Kathy, where you're talking about, we started out with integrity. And we've been talking about integrity and keeping our word and being whole and complete and coming back to being authentic, who having character. Don't play a part in somebody else's play. Be your very best you in your own play. Right. And that gives us these moments. There is a huge link between integrity. You couldn't have integrity without tapping into your gifts. I want to just share one other thought from Joseph Campbell, who wrote Power of Myth. He called it following your bliss. And I remember when he shared that with Bill Moyer, those three words, that was before the end. I mean, they went across the earth almost overnight. Everybody's heard of following your bliss. He says the way to find out about your happiness is to keep your mind on those moments when you feel most happy, when you really are happy, not excited, not just thrilled, but deeply happy. What is it that makes you happy? Stay with it, no matter what people tell you. That is what I call following your bliss.
That's right.
I was with Chad Hymas, who's the example of passion, the young man in the wheelchair. I was paralyzed when a 110 bell of hay hit him on the neck. I was out at his home last Tuesday. We spent 3 hours together. Chad is one of the most, he's the keynoter at the NSA, the National Speakers Association, in Florida. He'll be speaking on Sunday. I'll be there. I don't know if you're going to be there, Kathy, but I'll be there,
yeah,
and I'll be there with my family.
I hate that I'm going to miss that, Kevin. My goodness, I hate I'm going to miss that. Are you in the NSA?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. I really hate, so many of my friends are going to be there. I'm not going to be able to make it. But, so he's going to keynote?
He will be, and that's a real honor to be in front of your peers speaking. But I remember talking to him saying, Chad, we were out at his ranch and there were things he still lives with. He's got an elk ranch out there. And I spent some time with he and his adopted daughter from Guatemala, Gracie, and his wife, Shondell. But he loves being around his family. That's his favorite thing. But he loves speaking as well. And, you know, what do you love to do, Chad? Boy, you've really been sacrificing a lot. I'm trying to get him to speak a little bit less because it takes a toll, but he loves doing it. He loves doing it. He gets paid a lot of money. He makes seven figures a year speaking, but he speaks for free all the time. And when I'm coaching someone, I will say, well, to your point, Tony, take your gift and go give it away for free. I want you to do that this week before our next session in a week, 10 days, 2 weeks. I have different clients on different time frames. When they do that, when they share that gift, they open that gift, and they say, oh, my goodness, that was fun. I enjoyed that. I can get paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
It just changed. It just opens up a whole new world. Stephen Covey will be giving seminars and training and writing books, I believe, until the moment he dies. And I hope he's going to be around for a whole long time. He's in the autumn of his life, in his late 70s.
Yep.
He will do what he does until his last breath because it's not work. It's his way to contribute and to leave a legacy and to make a difference. But financially, he doesn't need to do it anymore. He hasn't needed to do it anymore for years and years and years.
And
but it's what he chooses to do.
He's another perfect example.
Yeah.
He still travels. As a matter of fact, I spent some time with him a few months ago. There was a seminar, Tamara Lowe, one of Tamara Lowe's seminars, because he travels with that group. And I spent some time backstage with him talking about his career and his life before he went on stage to do his presentation, and he is 87 years old.
It's amazing.
He's not. He said, "No, I'm not about to stop. He's not going to stop."
Well, I think he's 78, but he'll probably shoot us if we tell people that. He's not 87, but he doesn't look 78. He's going on 80. He looks 60, doesn't he?
He looks great. And he's even dealing with a health issue. You know, because he took that fall, and you know, he's dealing with short-term memory issues, and you know, his daughter goes on stage with him.
Yeah.
So even with all of that, he is not about to stop and give up.
No.
He's not done, and he's not going to. He is. That's his life. That's his love. That's his purpose. That's what keeps him moving and going. And I admire him greatly. I admire people like him and Stephen Covey and Brian Tracy. I just got an email note from him. I didn't know he had cancer. Did you know that, Kevin?
No, I know Brian. I did not. Boy, I should reach out to him.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Because I was asking him if he wanted to come on the show, and he was saying that he was really having a tough time with chemo.
Mm.
I didn't know that. So
I was in his office several years ago in Southern California. You know, it's interesting, though, that people like Stephen Covey, Dr. Gerald Bell, who I talk about in the book, they're all approaching, you know, 80 years of age. Harvey McKay. I was just with Harvey in New York. Harvey was born in 1932. I'm like, are you serious? Really? They are ageless. And they're ageless because they're doing what they were meant to do. Einstein said every child is born a genius. When we have that enthusiasm, which means God within. A theologian studies those topics that deal with God. When we are enthusiastic, we're tapping into God's gifts within, God within, and it just comes out. Think of a child, a 2-, 3-, 4-year-old. I mean, they love every moment of every day. Unless they're a little tired or a little bit hungry, but they just love being who they're meant to be. And then over time, that gets knocked out. Oh, you're not supposed to act like that. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to. You need to be more like Billy, more like Sally.
Right.
No, you need to be more like you. This same executive who I just shared with Tony a minute ago that he said, hey, we can always recover from the truth, I shared with both of you. His name is John Luther. He was the CEO and chairman of Dunkin' Brands. They have 16,000 stores in North America. And I work with his executive team. And Ram Charan had just come in and spoken, and they flew me in to hear Ram's speech. And then I worked with the team for about a half a day. And then Stephen came in, and Stephen had just had a knee replacement. It was his first speech. And I had lined it up so that we could have a nice, continuous message with this incredible group of about 150 directors and executives. And I remember when I lined up the call, I hope John wouldn't mind. I don't think he'd mind. With Stephen and John, I remember being in my office overlooking the mountains, and Stephen was somewhere in the world, and John was back in Boston, and John said to Stephen Covey, Stephen, thank you so much for agreeing to do this presentation for our team. Because I know, you know, you just had some surgery, and you're in the autumn of your life. I know you're not going to be doing speeches like this for too much longer. And, oh, my goodness, you just hear a pin drop. I'm like, John, why did you say that?
And
then
you know,
go ahead.
We're coming up on our last 60 seconds, Kevin, and I knew this was going to be a quick show, but I really appreciate you coming tonight, and you have just really given us some great nuggets to take back and take away, and thank you ever so kindly for agreeing to come on the show tonight. You have just been wonderful. It's been wonderful.
Well, it's an honor to be here with both of you. Let me conclude with what Stephen said, how he answered it, because this could sum up the show. He said, John, I don't know where you got that impression that this would be one of my last speeches. He said, I'll be doing what I do until my last breath. How about that?
Yeah.
When we discover what it is that we were meant to do, we do it. We can't wait for the sun to come up. We don't want the sun to go down.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you so much for letting me be part of the show again.
No problem. Thank you for agreeing to be here. And we are going to sign off for now. And please just have faith in whatever it is you want to do. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Leave you with that. One of my favorite quotes. I am Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
Good night, everyone.